on a cliff hanging on the base himself. Okay, it's very complicated, but let's just try to get the basic chat here. So the Gemara is like this: Itma hano o habo lo laodam bal korcho. Abai amamuteres verova amus asura. Okay, so difficult Gemara. So what does that mean? Hano habo lo laodam bal korcho. So I mean that's we're gonna have a few cases like it, but basically it means the person's not doing anything, and then he is the situation of Hano, he encounters the situation of Hano without inadvertently, without his intention. Okay. Well, we'll see. that's the question. What exactly does it mean? But it means literally means against his will. So what does that mean? So Abaye says it's mutter and Rava says it's asur. Okay. Now what does that mean? It's asur. I mean if it's really bal korcho, he's not us, right? So doesn't really mean the guy's being forced. So what do we mean by bal korcho? Efsha v'kom mechavein, lo efsha v'kom mechavein kuli amal lo pligi de aser. So the Gemara says, let's eliminate some of the possibilities. If there's kavana, essentially, whether or not he intends, whether or not he is able to leave, then everybody agrees it's aser. Okay, now what does that mean? Let's see Rashi. What does Efshar and Lo Efshar mean in this context? So Rashi says Efshar Lo Li Bodel V'Kol Mechavin L'Skarev K'dei Lihanos K'gon Reyach Shel Avodah Zarah O Afilu I Efshar Lo Li Bodel Miu Miskavin Hu V'Chovev Hu Lo Lehanos. So it's not so simple point to the way Rashi is explaining it. What does he mean? It's low efshar low. It's e efshar low. So Rashi sounds like he's saying the isra no is going to essentially go by your kavana. So whether or not you can efshar and low efshar would be like a maisa, right? If it's efshar low li bodel and he's mechavin to stay. See, what's interesting is what does it mean to be mechavein? So Rashi changes it slightly, right? When it's efshar v'kol mechavein, so then Rashi says the kavana is to stay, essentially to become closer, which means to stay, right? So when it's possible to leave. And now you have kavana lihiskarev, meaning you want to stay close to it in order to enjoy it. So their komachavein includes the mice of being lihiskarev. Okay, then of course everybody's going to agree it's aser. I mean, if that's not aser, what is aser? Okay, and but then when it says lo efshar v'kol mechavein, so you can't say mechavein l'iskarev because you can't move, apparently. Right? So then Rashi changes it. If he can't separate, but he still has kavana. What does it mean he has kavana? There's nothing he's doing. So there he just says his kavana is very strange, Rashi. It's miskavein who, for what? And the pleasure is dear to him. V'chaviv lo lehanos. So what would that mean? It means he can't leave. Now what does it mean he can't leave? We'll have to see a little bit. But he can't leave. So he doesn't have. He can't say he has kavana to stay if he can't leave. Right? So what's his kavana? His kavana is that he is of a state of mind that he wants to enjoy the pleasure. He wants to enjoy it, even though the enjoyment is also impossible to avoid. But what? He feels good about it? I mean, it's a funny It's a funny category over here. He's happy with it. He is. So what should he do? I mean, is this a matter of choice? Or is this just like the way you're built? Sounds like you can be mechavin or be... Sounds like the kavana is something that you can choose. Is it? No, it's not totally clear here.
Whether you like
and what
it
does
or
it mean, usher? I mean, what would the meaning of usher be if you have nothing, if there's nothing you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying just factually that the hana is automatic.
Right.
But the question is, what's his attitude towards the hana? So it's chavid lo lehemet.
Right.
You could say, I'm getting hana, but I really don't want it because I know it's the avodah zarah.
Right. So he has to feel. So the issue would be, he's in a spot. The hana is coming bal korcho, right? And what? And now it's a question of... emotionally, psychologically, how will he feel about that experience? So he shouldn't say, oh, my lucky day. He should say, ugh, I wish I wasn't here. Is that what he's saying? This sugya is very difficult. This sugya is very difficult.
Why do you say that?
Because there are several problems that we haven't even, that we're just barely scratching the surface over here, and then the Gemara goes through two versions of this machlokas, but I'm not really sure how deep I want to go into this or not, but and then there's machlokas Rishonim on whether this whole thing is a psik reish or not a psik reish. So it's very complicated, but I'm trying to just get through it so we can get to exactly what we want. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how successful we'll be able to avoid these problems here. I mean, what does Efshar and what is low? What does low Efshar and Efshar mean? It's very difficult. So, for instance, if you take a look at Tosvos, he says. He says like this. I will have to see. Well, he has one little thing over here that I wanted to show you. One second. If you take a look at the Tosfos and the wide lines, right? So what right above it, he says, it's a few lines up. He says, "Vitzarach lomar de kol hanu de maisi lo havi psik reishe." Okay. So that's the first thing. He wants to say all these things are not a psik reisha. That's different than the Ran. That's the Ran we did Saturday night. The Ran on Saturday that we did Saturday night said it's the Ran in Chulin on Lamed Aleph, I believe, around there where the riff quotes the Gemaras of Bastia. So the Ran over there says that by Hano we don't psik reisha. If you hold Dovashim Skavin is mutter, then by Hano, psik reisha, we don't say there's a psik reisha on Hano. Because we were saying that, that the Ran is saying, you don't say that psik reisha means you're mechave. Psik reisha means that if I'm doing one maisa with kavana, and there's another maisa that is necessarily joined to it, in this circumstance, like the Gemara is going to bring up, moving the bench and scratching the hole and making a hole in the floor, in the yard, or the psik reisha itself, taking the head of the chicken and killing the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have kavana for maisa A, and maisa B is circumstantially joined to it, so then we say it's like you had kavana for the maisa of the psik reisha, right? That's psik reisha. But we were saying, according to the Ran, the Isser Hanah is not really an Isser Maisa. It's an Isser of being Machshev the Chefza through being Machshev its Hanah. So just because you had Kavana for the Maisa, if you don't have Kavana for the Hanah, we don't say a Psik Reisha by Hanah. Right? That's what basically we're doing. That's basically the Ran in Chulin on the Riff. Where he brings down the case of Bastia. Okay, But the other Rishonim disagree. The Rosh and Tosfos, they disagree. They say Psik Reisha would apply here too. So apparently they hold that by Hana, because the problem with Hana is that we were saying that it's not the Maisa per se. It's the Maisa brings about the Hana. So like here's the Maisa is what? Here the Maisa would be like walking through the like the Gemara in the Vozar, walking into a store that is fragrant from Avodah Zarah. So the Maisa would be the walking in or breathing it in, whatever it is. But the Hana is not the Maisa. The Hana is like an effect of the Maisa. So that's what we're trying to say on that run. That he's saying how, since the Isser Hana is not an Isser Maisa essentially, it's an Isser of validating the Chefza by enjoying its benefit. So therefore, if you don't enjoy the benefit, you don't say that there's a Psik Reisha on that. Psik Reisha is only in the realm of Maisa per se, but not on the Hanoas Maisa. So, but Tosus himself and the Rosh say all these cases where there is no Psik Reisha. And also, he says like this, but this is the part I wanted to show you. Venira Lari, he says like this, the Lo Efshar, what does it mean, Lo Efshar? It means Kedarko. It doesn't mean it's impossible. Because then you're being honest. Ela betorach godol. Deha shil shul ha'umnin bekupos choshev lo efshar. Alright, so it's lowering the, we'll see later, that's the next case. Lowering the umnim in the baskets. That's considered the lo efshar. But it's possible in some, it means it's impossible without some enormous tircha. Doesn't mean literally impossible. V'adamim b'ksubos gabi mal livo b'tchila b'shavus. All right, that's a different case. So one second. So when Rashi says, and that's the way most of the Rishonim learn these cases, means to say you have to get somewhere, and you have to walk by a certain place, and that place has incense from Avodah Zarah. If there's no practical way to go another, maybe you can go 5 miles away or around about the other way. That's called Lo Efshar. Efshar and Lo Efshar here doesn't mean literally possible and impossible. It means practically possible or practically impossible. So, like the Gemara's later on, Rabbi Yochanan was giving a drasha and he couldn't move. Of course he could have moved, but he couldn't have given the drasha and moved in any practical way. So that's called Lo Efshar. Or they couldn't go into the Heichal in any other way than through those baskets. They could have, but it would have been very, very impractical. So Efshar and Lo Efshar doesn't mean possible and impossible. And if you take a look at the Ran also over here, the Ritva I think has it too, but the Rabbans are like this. He says, "Itma hano haba lo adam bal korcho, kigon reach avodah zara." Ubal korcho. What does it mean, bal korcho? Haynu lomar shelo bo lekan bishvilo, ela reach memela kasi. So bal korcho doesn't really mean like a guy's being tackled, tied up, and reach avodah zara is being blown up his nose. That's not bal korcho over here. Right, that would be in a pure anus. Bal korcho means more like it's unavoidable in what he's doing. It sounds like a psik reisha kind of thing. Right? Ubechi hai gavna, he says, afilu hu mechavin lo bal korcho mikri. And his proof is, he says, and in that case, we even call it bal korcho when he's mechavin for it. Right? He says, "The hashaklinen v'tarinen b'shmaiten be'efshar v'komachavin v'lo efshar v'komachavin." So his point is like this: The Gemara says, "Hano'o haba'o lo odam bal korcho is a machlokas." And now the Gemara is trying to figure out, and now the Gemara is eliminating certain cases. Okay, But he's saying all of those cases seem to be under the case, under the heading of Bal Karcho. They're just saying this Bal Karcho can't be what they're arguing about. That Bal Karcho can't be what they're arguing about. But all of these are called Bal Karcho. So he says, that's why he says that you see that even Mechavein law is called Bal Karcho. Because the Shaklin and Vitarina Bishmaita Be'efshar V'komachavein V'lo Efshar V'komachavein. Interesting. So he says Efshar lo libodel U'miskavein Lehanos me'osar re'ach O afilu E'efshar lo libodel. Now again, it doesn't really mean E'efshar. Umiu miskavenu lehanos kuliamalo pligi de osr de hakom mechavein lo. Lo efshar lo libodel. Okay, that's the next case. Yeah. So it's a little bit hard to pin down over here. But let's see if we can just straighten it out. How's it go? So what is Bal Karcho? That's the first question. What is the definition of Bal Karcho? Bal Karcho, he's saying, is basically inadvertently, right? Is that what he's saying? What's the Ron's? How did he put it again? He just said it means shelo bo lekam b'shvilo, right? Ela hareach memela kasi. Yeah. It means it's memela, right? See that in my mind, that's the whole sugi. The whole sugi is revolving around the Mamela issue, that if the Hanoah is considered Mamela, then we don't consider him to be doing any Maisa of being a Nene. The only Isser is when he is a Gavra who is a Nene, when he's doing a Maisa of engaging the Hanoah. But if he's walking down the street, It's very similar to these problems that we have, like with the electric eyes and things like that. You know, they just pop on. Mamela, guy's just walking. We'll have to see how that works into this at all. But that's the similar. That's the situation. He's saying it's Bal Karcho from which standpoint? From the standpoint of Maisa, that he's doing a Maisa of Halicha, let's say, or he's doing a Maisa of all these cases. We'll see. Guy's fixing the Heichal. Guy's giving a drasha. He's doing some Maisa. And circumstantially, really environmentally, a Hano'ah is Bo Elav Memela. Okay. Let's just take it slow. So now he's like this. If he is what? F shavikomachavein or lo f shavikomachavein. This is the first way of learning. Then everyone agrees it's aser. So what would it mean it's aser? It would mean he would have to avoid that situation, right? If a guy can't help it but to go through and have kavana for the smell, then that would be an iser for him to do that. He's not an honest. He can stay home from work. I mean, he could get another job. I don't know. He could go the 5 mile route. But we wouldn't say in that case that since he's essentially osek in walking to work, and the hanoah is bo memela, that hanoah of the experience is just accidental. Okay. That was my approach to the whole that we're going to get into this whole sugya of davishem miskavein machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, that's what it boils down to according to this Gemara, is that just in terms of like an introduction, sometimes the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, I mean, we're all familiar with what we're talking about, right? Davishem miskavein and Shabbos. Sometimes I think that the way that the sugya is understood or approached is if I do an action that may cause a maisa that's malacha, like I'm pulling the bench and it may cause the charetz, am I allowed to engage in such an activity? Right? Meaning to say, since a maisa may occur, a maisa malacha may occur, do I have to be choshish for such a thing? Or am I allowed to say, if it happens, it'll be accidental? You know, I'm allowed to do what I intend to do, as long as it doesn't necessarily cause a maisa that's an isser, or that I'm intending for that maisa to occur. Okay. Now, but I think the proper way is to view it a little bit different, slightly differently. Okay, it's a subtle difference. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to engage a maisa that may involve an isser. That's not the question. The question is, if my intention is essentially for one thing, and memela, a maisa of isser may occur, is that considered a maisa isser or not? You understand? It's not a question, how risky can I be vis-a-vis isser? Am I allowed to take a risk vis-a-vis isser? Or am I not allowed to take a risk vis-a-vis isser? Right, and Rabbi Shimon would say, as long as that's not your intention, you don't have to worry about it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to be careful about it. But the subtle implication is, like, are we worried about an isser occurring or not worried about an isser occurring? Right. As opposed to the way I'm presenting it, is everybody agrees you cannot do an action that involves an isser, even the possibility of the isser. But the question is, there are certain cases where we won't consider what occurs to be a maisa isser because maisa isser requires certain elements of kavana. You understand? It would be just an agav orcha memela action, and not related to you as a gavra. You understand? So what it comes down to is really a machlokas about what is the minimum requirement for the maisa to be deemed your maisa of isser. If I'm pulling a bench, and then the choretz may or may not occur, because otherwise you get into a little bit of a problem. What does it mean when Rabbi Shimon says davar she'ena miskaven is asa, but if it's miskaven, it's I'm sorry, ena miskaven is mutter, but miskaven is asa. What does miskaven mean? What does it mean to be a miskaven? You intend to scratch a hole into the ground while you're pulling a bench. Well, then it's davar pasha, that's asa, right? See, miskaven means, in this way of thinking, that the charetz is choshev to you. You understand? That's more like Rashi saying here, that the charetz is something of chashivas to you. Therefore, if it occurs, we don't consider it a memela, random, unassociated action.
Even if the reason why it's choshev to you is independent of the maisa?
Right. Correct. Now, as I'm really intending to pull the bench, I happens to be, if there were a charetz here, I would be happy. Right? And the charetz may occur. But I'm not mechaving to make the charetz now. That's not the kavanas maisa. That's more the kavana in general. Like Rashi's second definition of kavana. It's choviv hulo, lehanos. It's more similar to that type of a thing. It's like a denichale or lo nichale type of thing. But not a miskaven in terms of the sense of he wants both in terms of his maisa. Because then it would just be a maisa of choretz and a maisa of schlepping. Alright, let's see. It's confusing, but look. Let's work with that approach. So in other words, it goes like this. Hano haba lo adam bal karcho. So what is the category? What is the overall category? Or let's put it this way. What are we trying to find? What are we trying to define over here? What are we trying to define? What's the question that we're really asking? I mean, that's kind of an essential starting point here. Yeah. Can we properly formulate the question of Hano'o Haba Lol Odom Bal Korcho? I mean, if a bias is mutter, rovus is aser, it means there's a question over here. So what is the question? Yeah. It's asked like this. If there's an activity that you're involved in, right, that memela incurs a pleasure of iser, okay, are you considered to be doing a maisa of nene from that iser, of being a nene from that iser? Right? I mean, that's kind of the question. If I am not seeking the dana, right? My action is an action of heter. Okay. Memela, when I engage in that maisa of heter, I will encounter a hana. That is aser. Am I allowed nonetheless to engage in that maisa of heter? Or because of the resultant hanoas iser, I will deem that maisa to be a maisa of being a nene from the iser. And then I will not be allowed to do it.
It means obviously hano here. Machus isn't whether or not we could call it hano if you're not machabim.
Right, because hano, we have to say that the case is unchanging. Hano haba lo adam bal korcho. And now there are different permutations of that. And we want to know which permutation are Abaye and Rava arguing about. But that's the Ran and the Ritva, that all the cases that are listed are cases of that would fit the general category of hano haba lo adam bal korcho. Now what's interesting is, and this seems to be a major machlokas in the Rishonim, is whether this is exactly like the regular machlokas of Miskavin and Inner Miskavin. We'll have to see. And Psik Resha would be Asur. Or if Hanoah is different. And even if it's a Psik Resha Hanoah, which we normally say there's no machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, in these cases there is still a machlokas. Right? So, to my mind, what we were mentioning before with the Ran and the Tosos is that comes down to a question of whether you learn that intrinsically the Isser Hanah is a different kind of an Isser. And it's not essentially an Isser Maisa. So, the Maisa of Hanah's Isser is when you do a Maisa with the intent to engage the Isser, to engage the pleasure. That's a otherwise you wouldn't be considered to be to do it. There's no such thing as a maisa hanor intrinsically. There's a maisa of a charetz, right? Whether or not I want a charetz, there is a maisa of digging a ditch. But if I'm not interested in hanor, it's not even called a maisa hanor. That's the way the Ran seems to be learning. So therefore, he says even psik resha would be part of this question. Because we want to know, is he considered to be doing a maisa hanah? And if he has no relationship to that pleasure, then it would be conceivable that it's not even called a maisa of hanah. Because a maisa of hanah has no tzura in terms of has no objective tzura outside the framework of the benefit. A maisa of a charetz has a tzura based on its product. But a ma'is of hanah doesn't have a specific product, it just induces a state in the gavra. So therefore there's always a disconnect between the ma'is, between the physical ma'is and what we'd call the ma'is of hanah. Whereas the Tosas and the Rosh seem to say that might be true in an abstract sense, but halachically, once there are isurei hanah, they become concretized, so to speak, into certain kinds of engagements with the object. And therefore they learn that all of these sugyas have to be cases where there's no psik resha. Okay. But the efshar and the low efshar, is it doesn't have to be absolutely possible or impossible, because it has to do with kavanas agavra. In other words, when he is doing one thing and the other thing is inadvertent. So when is it considered inadvertent? It's considered inadvertent when there was no other reasonable way of doing what you're doing. Okay.
So I understand how, according to the Ron, how
this sugya comes up by the Bastia, because that's the case where they breathe in the wine to test its freshness. And then the question becomes, it's a yayin shel yayin nesach, and then the question becomes, why doesn't, and the Gemara says that's mutter. So the question becomes, why isn't that a psik ratio? So those are the two answers. Ron says there's no such thing as a psik ratio by Hanoah, and Tosus has to use different answers, that's a mazik, or yayin, that Hanoah's yayin is not smelling. But essentially, the same machlokas rises over there. Yeah.
What?
Okay, let's go through it. Let's try to go through some of the cases now. So it goes like this. If it's F Shavak. So the first way of learning it is that Kavana, everybody agrees, is also. So what does that mean? That means even if there's no practical way of doing what I want to do without... There's no other practical way of doing what I want to do. Or there is another practical way of doing what I want to do. Okay, but that's obvious. But let's take a case where there's no practical way of doing what I want to do. Lo efshar li bodel. E efshar lo li bodel. It means to say I can't continue doing what I need to do and simultaneously avoid the smell. Let's say that were the case. Right? I can't. Like the case later on in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was giving a drasha, and the shadow of the heichal was cooling him off. Okay, but he couldn't continue giving the drasha, right, and get out of the shadow. So that was a low efshar case. That's low efshar, correct? That's what we mean by low efshar. So if a person cannot low efshar li bodo means he can't remove himself from what he's doing. Right, and avoid the smell. Because no matter, in order to do what he needs to do, he has to have this smell. Okay, but nonetheless, but he is meskaven, and he's enjoying that smell while he's there. Then that maisa that he's choosing to do is synonymous with a maisa of iser hanoah, and therefore he has to stop. You understand? Because what sense would, if lo efshar meant impossible, what's the guy supposed to do? Okay. Unless you're going to learn like someone was saying before, that it means he has an obligation to convince himself that he doesn't like it. But what's the guy supposed to do? Anyhow. Well, we'll see. The cases don't line up that with the absolute impossibility. It means to say, and usher and mutter implies a guy has a choice. So what does it mean he has a choice if it's low efshar? It means to say, we have to define, the question is, can we define this maisa as a maisa of being a nen ephraim iser? Well, we have to see how closely it's related to the iser, or how closely is it related to the iser? So if, let's put it this way. We have to answer how closely is doing the Isser considered to be a nene from the Hanoah. Doing the Maisa considered to be an action of being of engaging the Hanoah. That's our question. Do we say that by engaging this Maisa, it's like he's engaging the Hanoah? He's really not intending to engage the Hanoah. That's always the case. He's not intending to engage the Hanoah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Bal Karcho. See? That's the point over here. That's what they're trying to show you. How could you say miskaven means Ezra? How could you say miskaven means that he wants to be have the Hanoah? How could you call that Bal Karcho? Right? So you have to say, how could it simultaneously be Bal Karcho and miskaven? Right? How can it simultaneously be Bal Karcho and miskaven? Right? And even by the Afshar case. Even by the Afshar case. Right? So Bal Korcho just means that it's not... Bal Korcho means that it happens inadvertently with the action that he is doing. That's called Bal Korcho. Right? And Miskave means he is a person who enjoys this smell.
So can you just say it was forced on him?
Because then he's anonymous. And the cases don't work out. We just the cases are not cases of that.
So you're going to have to say that that Bal Korcho just means that's impossible to do a Maisa A without the result?
No. Bal Korcho, let's break it down a little more carefully. Bal Korcho is the way he's engaged, is the way the Hanok comes to him. It comes derech agav. It comes memelo. That's called a hano'o habo'o l'odam bal korcho. It means he's not going over to the flower and smelling it. He has to, the hano'o is part of the environment. I mean, essentially in all of these cases, I think it's... The hano'o is something that he's not engaging as an objective. It comes to him... Memela, okay. It's bo shelo bo lekan bishvilo. That's what Bal Korcho means. That's the way the Ram puts it. Bal Korcho means shelo bo lekan bishvilo. He didn't come here to smell the flowers. Okay, he came here because he has something else that he's doing. But while he's here, hareach memela koasi. Okay, that's called Bal Korcho. Now what I'm saying is, the question is, that hano'ah that he experiences in this quote-unquote Bal Korcho manner, is that considered an iser hano'ah? Is that considered like a maisa of iser hano'ah? If it is, then he's not allowed to put himself in that situation. Then it would be like he came b'shvilo. You understand? It would be synonymous. It would be as if he is engaging a mice of Isser by doing this other thing. Right? Right? I think that's a little clearer. Okay. Similar to the psikvesha question. Similar to the Enamiskavin question. If he's pulling a bench and then Mamela, a charitz, appears, is that like he made the charitz? Or is that the charitz is chutz mimenu? It's just something that Mamela happened. It's just a butterfly effect.
So how's this different than psikvesha phtosis?
It's not. It's exactly the same. Phtosis is exactly the same.
Does it say like high new psikvesha?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara is very clear. This is all exactly the same as the machlokas about psikvesha. Okay? Let's try to get a little further though. But, so therefore the Gemara goes like this. But what's confusing is keeping the terminology straight. So Bal Korcho just represents the idea that that's not why he's here. It happens, so to speak, memela because of what he is involved in. Okay? And none of these things, according to us, Psik Resha, and according to the Ran, it's not Shaykh to Psik Resha, because I know. But conceptually, it's not a Psik Resha, according to everybody. And now the question is, so the first way of looking at it is, well, if he is a Mechavein for that, now, Mechavein doesn't mean he came for it, because then that would be the opposite of Bal Korcho. He wouldn't be able to be a Bal Korcho and then a Mechavein. So Bal Korcho means he didn't come for the smell. But Miskavein means he is a person who enjoys it. Okay? So everybody would agree that if the guy has to goes to work down Broadway, and he passes by the incense Avodah Zarah service, and he can't help it. He just loves it. He would have to take a longer route. He would have to do the impossible, so to speak. That's a joke. Right? He would have to do the tircha. He'd be chayav to take the tircha. Why? Because since he enjoys that smell, you can't say that vis-a-vis him, that smell is simply... a mamela non-entity. It's something that's chashuv to him automatically, intrinsically it's chashuv to him. And were he to smell it, he would be a nene, and therefore it's awesome. We have to think this thing through. It's very confusing, but let's just try to narrow down. So that's one way. Okay, that's kuli amo lo pligi, that everybody agrees. If you know you're about to do something that may cause a hana, and were that hana to happen, you would love it. Well, then that is also to engage in that activity. Because why? Because now mamela vis-a-vis you, there is a real product of hana in this maisa. You as a gavra are defining this maisa as a beneficial maisa of hana. Okay, or at least if the hana were to occur, it would have the identity of an isra hana to you. Okay. Now, let's go a little further. And everybody would agree that if it's lo efshir v'lo mechavein, then it's mutter. That's the thing where it's next slide. Right? Everybody would agree, if I have no other way to walk, practically speaking, and I have no interest in that smell.
So what hana is there if you have no interest in the smell?
Mamela, I'm gonna breathe in the incense of Avodah Zarah.
Doesn't that mean you like it? Meaning if it's hana, doesn't that mean you definitely enjoy it?
What does Rashi say? Lo efshar lo li bodel, right? I don't have another way to go. The lo ko mechavein li hanos, and I don't have any interest in getting that pleasure. Okay. That's tarti leheter. Description of now here's the key question that as you're asking. When I do walk by that place, okay, and I breathe that in that smell, will it be pleasurable or not? Will it be a mice? Will that be a hana? So that's what Rashi was trying to explain earlier. He says, miskave means it's chaviv hu lo lehanos. So it would be, apparently, you have to say, he never seeks this pleasure out. He has no interest in this pleasure. Mamela, will he enjoy it? Apparently he will enjoy it for a moment. But you can't call him doing a maisa of being a nana. It's a no'o habo'o l'odom bal karcho. That would be bal karcho. Did he get some kind of a pleasure from it? Yes. But can I say that he is responsible for that pleasure, or that the pleasure just was mamela? There's no isser for pleasure to be mamela. The isser is for the gavra to engage the pleasure. If the pleasure comes mamela, it's mutter. Well, let's put it this way. If the pleasure comes mamela, then he's allowed to engage the maisa that may produce the pleasure that's mamela. Why? Because since he's not choosing this path any other path would be too difficult. So in terms of the maisa, he's not a gavra that is choosing this. He's not choosing the path based on the smell. This is the path that he has to go down. And were the smell to come, and he's not a gavra who is interested in this pleasure, so we can't relate his choice of maisa to the pleasure itself. And then it comes out that the pleasure is considered mamela. I mean, again, I'm doing a very bad job of defining this whole thing, but that's the derech over here that we have to try to work it through. It would be like a guy, and the guy's going to go through it in a minute, it'd be like a guy who doesn't care if there's a choritz on the ground, and it's not necessarily going to happen, and this is the only way he can move the bench. If that choritz occurs, we would not say he was a choresh. Why? Is there a ditch in the ground? Yes. Did his action cause it? Yes. In a sense, we could say that, but as a gavra, we don't say that. Because as a gavra, to be a choresh means you engage the maisa of choresh for the product of choresh. if I'm doing this maisa because it's the only way to move the bench, so I'm not choosing a maisa chorish. And in terms of the charet, in terms of the product of the maisa, I don't have any interest in it. I never buy it. I never pay for it. I never seek it out. So then we can say the occurrence of the choretz is considered memela from your maisa, not part of your kavanas maisa at all. Therefore, it's beyond the gavra, and it's not a maisa iser at all. It's not an accidental maisa iser. It's just simply not a maisa iser. Okay.
So if it is like a psikresha to Nikolai, we would say he is mischaving for mischaving in the sense that he's a person that would enjoy this.
For sure. Right. So there's a question by psikresha itself if we need kavan, if it has to be Nikolai or not. Right. That's the big one.
Well, I thought what you're doing is showing how this is like psikresha to low Nikolai. So
well, these are not psikresha cases.
I'm not considering by dragging, in comparison to psikresha by dragging the bench. Since you're not the type of person, let's say, psikresha lo nichole, that needs this furrow, we can't say for sure that you are dragging the bench is a way for you to get to the ditch.
But I don't want to talk in psikresha cases, okay? We're not talking about psikresha cases. Because if it's a psikresha, then there's a big machlokas rishonim, whether nichole or not nichole is a factor or not.
So we want to know why you're talking about the charetz.
Because that's the case that we're talking about. That's the case of Einam Skavim, where it may or may not occur.
Or may or may not occur.
We'll see. Let's go a little further, okay? It'll be clear in a minute, okay? So it goes like this: Ki pligi de efshe v'lo mechaving. Maybe that's a little bit of an overstatement. It's not going to all be clear, but you'll at least see what I'm talking about. So when is the machlokas? The only machlokas is the case of where it's possible to go another way, but you don't care about the pleasure. Okay. Rashi. Efshar lo libodel. He has three ways to walk to work. Okay. And they're really not much different. So you can't say in terms of going the way that passes the Avodah Zarah that he's sort of forced, that it's beyond his intent. You can't say that's... Because, no, he chose this way. He specifically chose... So he chose the way that is the basis of the possible Hana. Okay? But for him, that Hana is simply not a big deal. For him, that hanah is nothing that he really enjoys. It's a hanah, of course. He'd say, yes, I did smell that. It does have a nice smell. But I'm not interested. I don't care about that. Okay? So are you allowed to do that? In other words, will we say that since you chose the maisa of the hanah, if the hanah occurs, it's like you did a maisa of hanah? And the guy can't smell a rose and say, you know what, I don't really like this smell, so it's mutter. Or do we say that since the Hanoah itself is not important to him, and he is doing essentially something else, then it's still considered Mimela. Okay? Now the Gemara goes further. He says, V'aliba de Rebbe Yehuda davar davashay miskavein aser kuliyamalo pligi de aser. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says in general, a Dovash Einam Miskavein is Asur, then of course it's Asur. That's just a straight up case of Dovash Einam Miskavein. Ki pligi aliv Rabbi Shimon. The only time they're arguing is according to Rabbi Shimon. Da'omar Dovash Einam Miskavein Mutter. Okay? So Rabbi Shimon says Dovash Einam Miskavein is Mutter. Rash says that's the case of Grey Ras Mita, Gekisei V'Safsal. Everybody knows that case. And everybody knows that Rabbi Huda says you can't drag the bench, and Rabbi Shimon says you can drag the bench. So then it just comes out that Abayi is learning that it is Asur. No. Abayi is learning it's Mutter, so he knows like Rabbi Shimon. And Rava says... I got the wrong one, right? Who says what? I always get the excuse. Oh, Abayi says Mutter, right. So he says... Abaye is learning Rabbi Shimon, and the question is now on Rava. If Rabbi Shimon says that Davar Shem Miskavein is mutter, and this is Davar Shem Miskavein, why is it not mutter? You could say he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, but they don't want to say that. But Rava Omar Adkan lo ka Omar Rabbi Shimon el hecha de lo efshar, aval hecha de efshar lo. Now that actually is a Gemara. If you look in Beitza, there's a sheet like that. There's a sheet that says that Rabbi Shimon holds Davar Shein HaMiskavein is only mutter when it's lo efshar. Now what does lo efshar mean, Rashi? Kigon. Shetzarach la'osan kalim. He needs the bench. What does he mean he needs the bench? He's going to die? No. It means he wants to sit over there. Okay. Ve'ein yochol la'agbian al-ksefo. And he's not able to lift it. It's too heavy. Okay. But still, it's not heavy enough that it's definitely going to make a ditch. So that's the case of lo'efshar. Lo'efshar v'lo mechavein means what? It means the guy wants the bench. He wants to move the bench from point A to point B. Does he need to? No. But that's what he wants to do. Okay. Now, in moving the bench, he has no choice but to drag it. What do you mean he has no choice but to drag it? It means it's too heavy to pick up. Okay. And he may or may not cause a charetz. Good. But he has no interest in the charetz were it to occur. Okay. He goes to Rabbi Yehuda. Can I do this? I'm sorry. So Abaye would say, well, Rabbi Shimon would say it's mutter, because all he cares about is kavana. As long as it's not a psik reisha, the only question is kavana. Right? I'm sorry. I'm messing this all up. Rava is learning that that's the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's the way Rava is learning. Right? Rava is learning that if it's not possible to move the bench any other way, then Rabbi Shimon is matir, and Rabbi Yehuda still says it's asur. Good? So if you go to ask Rabbi Yehuda, he would say you can't move the bench. If you ask Rabbi Shimon, he would say you can't move the bench. Right? It's lo efshar. How could Rabbi Yehuda say don't move the bench if it's impossible? No, of course it's possible to not move the bench. But it means there's no other practical way to move the bench. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, sorry, I know you said you needed the kalim over there, but you can't. Right? Good. That's the way Rava learns the machlokas of Eina Miskavein in Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, bringing it back to our question, he would therefore say, if a person can... Oh, I'm sorry. But if, according to Rava, you would ask Rabbi Shimon, can I drag these little kalim across the ground? Just because I don't want to pick them up. Right? And they may or may not cause a ditch that I have zero interest in. According to Rava, if you would ask Rabbi Shimon that question, he would say, no, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in this case. Why? Because it's a question of relating you as a gavra to the result, to the possible result of the maisa. And Rabbi Shimon, according to Rava, holds, if you have two ways of doing the maisa, and you choose the one that may create the ditch, that itself is considered to be miskavein for the maisa of charetz.
It's just easier for you. Meaning you don't care what the end result is. How could you possibly relate you through that choice?
Because it's efshar. He's saying it's yochol lagbian al-ksefo.
Yeah, but it's easier to drag.
Well, now we get down to the question of what does it mean to be a big tircha? Okay. But, no, as you say like this, you have two ways. Is it easier to drag? Maybe it's a little bit easier. But it is an efshar. No, let's put it this way. To you, moving the bench from here to here does not mean, by definition, dragging. It has two. There are two ways to accomplish moving the bench from point A to point B in your realm, because you're strong enough to pick them up. Okay. So therefore, Rava says that Rabbi Shimon would agree. In that case, we would consider the ditch that emerges to be the product of your maisa. Since you had the choice of maisa, and you chose the maisa that could create the ditch. That itself makes the ditch a product of you, which means it has the shame of a Maisa Isser. That's why you're not allowed to do it. But if you had no choice, but if the only way you could move the bench was by dragging it, then were a ditch to occur, since you have no interest in it, we would not consider it to be part of your Maisa. We would consider it to be a Mamela. But if you are happy when it occurs, and it's something that you're glad about, even though you're not intending to create it, that also would be considered part of your Maisa. That's a little trickier why that should be. But,
you can be chayav post facto, meaning like if you look back and say, oh, that actually wasn't too bad.
Well, then he would say you're not allowed to engage that Maisa, because were it to occur, it would have the identity of a Maisa Isser. So that would be like, you're not allowed to engage the dragging, because were the ditch to occur, it would have the character of a Maisa Isser.
I'm saying, like, can you look, like, let's say you didn't ask him, let's say you said post facto, am I chayav, is it mutter, is it am I chayav or am I potter?
Right. So, it would seem you'd be chayav, correct. You'd be chayav. Now, of course, all these cases are drabonon, because this is not the derech of chorets. That's what Tosis talks about later. But yeah, you're right. It would be a Maisa Isser. Yeah.
They're saying because if you have another alternative and you choose this alternative, so really the Gavra's Kavana is in the product.
That it's Ki'ilu is in the product. That's the way he's learning. I wouldn't say he has. Yeah, I mean that's what the sugya is revolving around to me. Now, this is the way, it's interesting. I did this sugya a long time ago, and this is the way we came out. I mean, we never really did it fully, but this idea occurred to me last time I went through the sugya, and I just happened to see in the Kovet Shiurim, he says a similar thing, so happy to see that. He doesn't go through it too detailed either, but he says the question of Eina Miskaven, Eina Miskaven is whether it's considered that the Gavra is doing the Maisa, or the Maisa is considered to be like just Mamela. That's the main question. How do you view the Maisa that does occur? Not are you allowed to engage in risky behavior or not allowed to engage in risky behavior. The question is whether the Maisa that occurs has a shame of a Maisa Isser if it happened in an inadvertent way that's not definite. Do we consider that? So I wanted to say at the time we learned the Sugya last that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says Dabar Shem Miskaven is Usser, he's like a mitzvah sein shvichas kavanos type of an idea, that Maisa Isser has its own chashivas because of the system, and it doesn't matter whether you enjoy it or not. It automatically has a certain identity of Maisa. But the other way, but Rabbi Shimon is learning, no, you have to be machshavit as a product. Otherwise, vis-a-vis you, we consider it to be simply a memela occurrence, not a maisa adam. We don't consider the product to be bought al yidei maisa adam. If in your framework, if you didn't choose the maisa itself, and in your framework the maisa is a non-entity, but it requires a lot more thought to actually work this through. Yeah.
According to Bishamun,
all right, let's go a little further here. So that's the first way to learn. Okay. So basically, the first way to learn is very simple. It goes like this. Everybody agrees like with Rabbi Shimon. Everybody agrees we hold like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi and Rava basically simply arguing within the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon. Whether Rabbi Shimon is limiting his heter to cases where you have no alternative. And then he needs, like Rashi said, tarte l'tevusa. It has to be that you don't choose the way, right? And you don't care about the product. That would be, but if you have a choice of ways, even though you don't care about the product, that's enough to consider you related to the Maisa of Isser. That would be Rava. And Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon is mater all Eina Miskaven, even if it's Efshar. So that's why the machlokas is Efshar v'lo mechavein. And basically, it's just a question of, by Efshar v'lo mechavein, what Rabbi Shimon says by the bench. It's just the same question by the bench. It would be the same exact question if I have a light bench and I don't care about the ditch, am I allowed to drag it on Shabbos? According to Rabbi Shimon. Abai would say, drag away. Why? You don't care about the hole, right? Okay, great. So then you're not considered to be digging a hole. If it happens, okay, it just happened, my male. And Rava would say, no. Rabbi Shimon would say, in that case, since you have two ways of carrying, since you have two ways of moving it, you could either pick it up or drag it, and dragging intrinsically is tied to the possibility of a hole, then mamela, your choice of dragging is like a choice of digging. And therefore, any hole that occurs would be yours. And the only time Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter is when you're not related to the product of the digging, because you're not engaging dragging per se. You're only exclusively moving the bench. It was basically, according to Rava, if there's two ways to move the bench, then your kavana of the one that has the digging is like a kavana of digging. Right? Because if you were exclusively a bench mover, you would have picked it up. The fact that you dragged it means you're a bench mover dragger. Whereas if it's too heavy to pick up, then you're exclusively a bench mover. You understand? Mm-hmm. Right? But basically, this is fairly uninteresting because it just comes out to be a question of whether you hold that the heavy bench, that the light bench is mutter to move on Shabbos or not, according to Rabbi Shimon. Right? That's all it comes down to. Now, if you really were paying attention, you would have realized something a little bit off. So let's just pick it up here. Look at the Tosas. Lo Efshar Lo Mechavin, right? So now you'll realize what the problem is. Let's say it's a Lo Efshar Lo Mechavin Kuli Alma Lo Pligi. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what is the case of Abaye and Rava. And ultimately we say they're arguing in Rabbi Shimon. Right, in the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, they're arguing within Rabbi Shimon if he's only matir the heavy bench, the low Efshar bench, or even the Efshar bench, when you're not a Mechavin. But Rabbi Yehuda holds what? Ain't a Mechavin is also. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda, which case is mutter? Basically, every case is also, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So when it starts out and says, Lo Efshar v'lo mechavin kuli amo lo pligi, so Tos says l'nishna kama, that's the one we're doing, nira l'farish to kuli alma is talking about Abaye and Rava.
Right.
And they say it's mutter, because they're learning like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon. But the Rabbi Yehuda would all be asr. The Rava muki plug, so the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, below Efshar v'lo mechavin. Because take a look at Rava. Rava says, when are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing? Well, for Rava, they're only arguing in one case. They're arguing in the case of Lo Efshar, the Lo Mechavin. Right? Because the Efshar, because Rava says, if it's Efshar, then even Rabbi Shimon holds Tasser. Okay? So let's take Rava. Rava holds, when is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon arguing? They're only arguing in the case that you have no other way to move the bench, and you don't care about it. Then Rabbi Shimon says, well, since you don't care about it and there's no other way to move it, you are completely unrelated to the results. Right? And Rava would say, it's Aser in a low Efshar v'lo Mechavin. So when the Gemara starts out and saying, Lo Efshar v'lo Mechavin kuli amo lo pligi, that's not in the Tanayim, that's just between Abaye and Rava. But Enoch Hanami, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Aser. Right? Certainly going to Rava. Alright, just wanted to clarify that. Now, let's take the next case. Let's try the Ikad Amri. Because it turns out the Ikad Amri is the one that stands. Oh no. Is that the Ikad Amri that stands? I forget. Yeah, I think the Ikad Amri is the way that it comes out. Yeah, because we knock off Rava. Lishnakam, we knock him off. Okay. So the Ikad Amri is even more bizarre. Okay, it goes like this. It's hard to believe. Ika da Amri, Efshar, v'lo mechavein, hainu plug sayud, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. In other words, Everybody's learning like Abaye's version of the Machlokas. Now, what is the Machlokas between Abaye, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? On the bench that you can pick up if you choose, but you have no interest in the ditch. Okay, that's the Efshar. V'lo kol machaz.
Right?
That's when Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's asur. Okay? Ki pligi, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's the machlokas. Lo efshar v'lo kol mechavein. Then everybody would agree. Meaning even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing when let's see Rashi. Ika d'amri moda rava hechad lo kamachavein afal gav she'efshar shori Rabbi Shimon. So he agrees. He agrees that if it's possible to pick up the bench, but you don't care about the result, then Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. That's the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Ubein labaye, ubein larava, Rabbi Yehuda aser, Rabbi Shimon shari. They're not arguing about that. Okay? So that is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, lo efshar, velo kol mechavein. Let's say I couldn't move it, and I couldn't, and I don't care about it. Then, kuli alma lo pligi deshari. Now, Rashi jumps in and says, kuli alma, who means who? Abaye v'rava. Lo pligi deshari v'afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, fine. So then really, that means everybody. Everybody really agrees. Okay? Because the only thing that Rava, that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with before, was because it was Efshar. Okay? That's what he's learning. That's what Rashi's learning. Okay. Ki pligi the lo efshar v'kol mechavein. Get a load of this. When do they argue where it's lo efshar but you have kavana? Okay. Va'aliba the Rabbi Shimon the ozil basa kavana kuli amalo pligi the aser. But now according to Rabbi Shimon, who says kavana is the main thing, because even when it was efshar and you didn't have kavana, he holds his mutter. So what defines the Maisa according to Rabbi Shimon? Kavana. Not choice of action, but kavana for the result. And I don't mean kavana for the result, meaning you intend to have the result, but it means say that the result is valuable to you. That's what defines it as a Maisa of that product vis-a-vis you. So certainly for Rabbi Shimon, it would be usher. Because kavana is the main thing for him. When do they argue? Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Why? D'omar lo shna miskavein v'lo shna eino miskavein. Efshar asr. Let's see Rashi. Ki pligi de lo efshar v'ko mechavein umi aliba de Rabbi Shimon de chashiva le kavana de matir afilu b'de efshar. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you have a choice but you lack kavana, it's mutter. Even though you have a choice. Okay. So the main question is kavana. Because we're not talking about impossible, impossible. Ki pligi alib Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to this. The Omar lo shna miskaven v'lo shna aina miskaven efshar aser v'lo gar shdinan v'lo efshar shari. Okay. What do we have? Miskaven efshar aser. Right. So if it's Efshar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have two ways of going, and you choose the one that may cause the Isser, even though you have no Kavana, he calls that Asser. So what do we see from that? So what do you see from that? So you see for Rabbi Yehuda, where's the main definition of the Maisa? In the choice of action, as opposed to the value of result. Because every Maisa, idea of the Maisa is, the pure idea of the Maisa is where you choose the activity because the result is what is valuable to you. When am I considered to be doing a maisa of digging? As a gavra, fully engaged in the maisa of digging, or any maisa that we can think about, it's where I, as a gavra, choose the action that has the result that I seek. Right? When am I a kotzer? When am I harvesting? Well, when I intend to cut the fruit, in order to attain that product. So I have a chashivas I have a kavana in the maisa, and I have a chashivas in the product. That's the definition of doing a maisa. They're putting it like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when you're really doing something else, right? Essentially, you're doing something else. What's going to define you as a osa of the inadvertent memela? Do we put the essence on the chashivas in the product? Or do we put the emphasis on the choice of the maisa? Just a very, very, regalachas sort of here. So they're saying like this. They're saying Rabbi Shimon is definitely saying the product is essential. If the product is not chashiv to you, then even though you're choosing the basis of the product, you're not considered to be engaged in the maisa. And if the product is chashiv to you, why is that necessarily true? That if the product is chashiv to you, it's always going to be maisa. I'm not totally clear on that yet. But anyway, they're saying if the product is essential, if lack of kavana for the product will be matir or kavana for the maisa, that shows you that he holds the product is essential. But for Rabbi Yehuda, it's reversed, right? Rabbi Yehuda says if you choose the maisa, even though you don't care about the product, you're chayav. Right? So he says, if it's efshar, even though you're not miskaven, it's usher. Correct? Okay. So Abaye holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Kevan de usher Rabbi Yehuda b'de efshar. Avagav lo kom mechaven, shma mino, lo chashvina le kavana. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about kavana. All he cares about is efshar and lo efshar. Hilkach, if it's lo efshar, he didn't choose the maisa, even though he has kavana, he doesn't care. In other words, he wants to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds the gavra is not considered to be involved in the maisa of Isser unless he's related to the cause of the Isser as a gavra. Unless he's related to the vehicle of that Isser as a gavra, any result is mamela. Doesn't matter that he likes that result. Is he going this way because he has to or because he wants to? He has to. Well, that's it. Any result that occurs, any mamela result that occurs from that is not related to him. Why? Because the only thing that makes the result, that deems the result a maisa gavra, is when he engages by choice the maisa of that activity. But here, he's not. The Rav Amar Loch Ad Kan Lo Kamar Yehuda Shein Miskaven Ki Miskaven El Lechumra Avol Miskaven B'Shein Miskaven Lekula Lo. And then Rava says it's Aser. Why? He says because all we see from Rav Yehuda is that he's Machmir by an Ena Miskaven. But who's to say that he's Mako by an Ena Miskaven? So the point is this becomes a norm, right? It's like a boondoggle over here. It's just like a. It's hard to juggle all of these positions in your head. But that's the Gemara's question. Comes out a fascinating thing, according to Abaye. According to Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though you're miskaven, but there was no other practical way to do it, it's mutter. So again, you can't say miskaven means you intend to attain the result. That's obviously impossible. So miskaven must always mean the result is valuable to you. And it's always a question of, can I relate the gavra back to the result? And Rav Yehuda says the only way to relate the gavra as an osa maisa to the result is when the maisa was an element of his choice. But if he was purely engaging the activity for its essential outcome, meaning to get to work or whatever it is he needs to do, even though he knows this other thing may happen, as long as he has no, even if he cares about it, that's the crazy thing. Even if he enjoys it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter for him to do. Why? Because it would just be a mamela hana. It would be mamela. It would be a hana. That's mamela. Or be a charetz. That's mamela. So he pulled the heavy. I guess he got to work back in the shops. He pulled the heavy bench because he needs to get it from here to there, and he's happy that the charetz came, but he's not a digger of a ditch. He's just a guy who happens to have a ditch appear in his backyard. It's wild. It's not a lost gufa, because that's what he wants. He's happy about it.
I'm saying the mice that he did though wasn't for this purpose, and yet he ends up with something.
But that's what I'm saying. That lost gufa is where you're doing one, the mice that has two outcomes, and you just want the other outcome. But not this is two mices.
Oh, I see.
Right. Anyhow, so this.
Wait, I'm sorry, Reddy. Can you answer Ezra's question again?
Oh, why, yeah. Yeah. This is also what we discussed on Motzei Shabbos, that psik reisha and lochshin shel guf are different. Psik reisha means there are two different actions that happen to be coinciding. Okay. Like an action of digging and an action of moving a bench. They're not intrinsically related. They just happen to coincide in this instance. Okay. Or, like the riddle of how do you cut off a chicken's head without killing it? Right? The old children's riddle. Because children like chicken's heads. They like chicken's heads to play with. They like riddles. Anyway. So, how do you cut off a chicken's head without killing it? John, you know the answer to that? It's already dead.
I heard the answer from you.
It's already dead. So, so killing a chicken and taking off its head are not synonymous, right? Happens to be, in this case, they coincide. So that's psik reisha. Two actions that happen to coincide, but they're intrinsically different actions. So then we say, if they have to coincide, then doing one is ki'ilu you have kavana for the other, because they're coinciding in this case, whatever the svar is. But the point is, it's inadvertent, but it's mamela in this case. I'm sorry, I shouldn't use those terms. It is, it's not, since in this instance represents the concurrence of these two actions, then your kavana for one is ki'ilu you have kavana for the other. Okay, fine. That's psik reisha. But melacha shen shvil hagufa is one maisa that always has two outcomes. So when I dig a ditch, I always get dirt and produce a hole. So that's one maisa. There's no, you can't separate. You can never make the ditch without moving, without getting dirt. You can never take dirt without leaving some impression. So intrinsically, the maisa of digging has two different totsos. And if Melacha Shabbos is koveya, the totsah of the whole, as the...
Wait, I'm sorry. The action has two outcomes?
Yeah. Whenever I dig a ditch, I also harvest dirt. Right? So intrinsically, the maisa of or... Whenever I move something from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, there are two totsos. One is that it's in the next Rishus, and the other one is that it's out of the previous Rishus. They always have to go together. Right? I'm not doing two, it's not two separate actions that concur. It's one action. I'm moving it from point A to point B. It means it has an effect on point B and it has an effect on point A. So digging a hole is moving dirt from here to there. Right? Now, when do I call it digging dirt? And when do I call it getting dirt? And when do I call it making a hole? Well, that depends on your kavana in the maisa, which outcome you value. Right? So that's the inyan of malacha shein shvichel gufa, where the malacha is koveya, the outcome, where the malacha is saying, this is essentially a maisa of making a hole. And that's a malacha. So now, can I go into that maisa and say, but my outcome, my desired outcome is the dirt. So I have, so to speak, reassigned the maisa to a mite away from the hole and to the product of the dirt. That's like it's a different maisa. See, psik resha, the other maisa happens mamela. And I'm not redefining it. I'm just saying it's necessary with what I'm doing. So then we say, okay, so then you have kavana for it to happen also. But melacha shein shvichel gufa is sort of like I'm trying to redefine what this action is, because the definition of an action is by its product. Here it has two products, dirt and a hole. Can I go in and say, well, now it's essentially a dirt retrieving product, maisa? Then it's a melacha shein shvichel gufa. That's the machlokas over there. So anyway, I don't know if any of this was necessary for what we want to do, but now the Gemara is going to go through cases of Hanah, of Isuri Hanah, and I'm going to try to line them up with Abaye and Rava to see if they can disprove one or the other. But this is where we bring in the Hanos of Reach and of Reach, essentially. So let's finish up this. Let's try to finish up this Chaf Vav tomorrow, and then what I'd like to do is go through the Big Beis Yosef on the topic of Isur Hanah, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay.